Sisters and brothers, as we listen to the gospel message found in the gospel according to Mark chapter 2, verses 2 to 9, if you are able, I invite you to stand. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves, and he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all, glorifying God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Friends, I bring warm greetings from the students, faculty, administrators, and Board of Trustees of Columbia Theological Seminary. I have been given the honor to serve as the seminary's 11th president and building upon the many faithful who have gone before us. I am grateful for Pastor Ryan as well as the session of the church to give me this honor to occupy the pulpit this morning, to bring forth the word of God and bring forth these greetings. I am also grateful that I have my wife here with me, Suzette, in which we will be in just a few days on August 30th. I remember the date, our 36th anniversary, and we are grateful for what God has given us with two amazing daughters, Kayla and Alyssa. Friends, on the doorstep of its third century in a landscape of global crisis and amidst sweeping change for the church and its educational institutions, Columbia Theological Seminary has proposed a bold and innovative vision wherein service to Jesus Christ, we will educate and nurture faithful, imaginative, and effective leaders for the sake of the church and the world. We are getting ready to develop an innovative strategic plan where we can continue to cultivate meaningful and substantive relationships with the church, and particularly with the PCUSA, by fostering platforms of interdisciplinary theological inquiry and imagination. We are committed to walk alongside our judicatories and our congregations in defining and refining the questions that are necessary to meet the challenges of a divisive world and church that is plagued by hatred and violence. You see, siblings in the Lord, there are times in our lives when we look around and wonder, is this all there is? Sometimes it's just a passing question. Other times, it's for a season. We look at our life, our circumstances, and we want more. There is a restlessness, a searching, and longing for something else. Some call it a midlife crisis. It can make us do crazy things, this searching and seeking. We get a new job, a new car, a new relationship. Maybe we take up a new hobby, go on a trip, or work extra hours, but not much changes. It is not about the circumstances of life, it's about us. The restlessness, the desire for something more, generally means that we have been living life at the shallow end of the pool. Life and relationships have become superficial. We have been skimming across the surface. In some ways, life at the surface is easier, more efficient, encouraged, and rewarded by much of the world today. It fails, however, to see and experience that the world is already transfigured and creation is filled with the divine light. Our scripture verses today speak about a form of transfigured understanding of forgiveness. With the basis, if you can recall, of that moment and on that day that Jesus brought his disciples to the mountain and was transfigured. Life on the surface keeps us judging the circumstances. We look at our circumstances as a picture. If it is pretty, pleasing, and shows us what we want to see, then God is good and life is as it should be. When we don't see what we want, then we often look for a new picture. The restless searching, the longing for more, the desire for meaning are not, however, usually answered by changed circumstances. The answer is found in depth, in intimacy, and the vulnerability of the interior journey. We do not need to see new things. We need to see the same old things with new eyes. We do not need to hear a different voice. We need to hear the same old voice with different ears. We do not need to escape the circumstances of our life. We need to be more fully present in those circumstances. When this happens, life is no longer lived at the surface. These are the transfigured moments, the moments of forgiveness, the moments of peace, the moments when the picture of our life has become a window into a new world, and we come face to face with the glory of God. Most of us, I think, see God in the circumstances of life. We want God to show up, be present, and do something. This is the God who does. This is the God described in Mark's gospel up to the point of today's reading. We might think about this as the first part of the spiritual journey. It is the journey of discovering God in the circumstances. This is what the disciples have been doing. They have seen Jesus cast our demons, heal Peter's mother-in-law, and cure the sick of Capernaum, and as well provide forgiveness and healing to the paralytic. He's cleansed the leper and made a withered hand new and strong. Paralytics now walk, the blind see, and thousands fed. This is the God about whom people talk. The God that gets likes and shares on Facebook. At some point, we must, however, begin to discover the God who is beyond the circumstances. And this is the God who is. This is the second part of the spiritual journey. Jesus is leading in that moment of entering the mount where transfiguration took place. Jesus is leading Peter, James, and John up the mountain to discover the God who is beyond circumstances. Here, their pictures of life, circumstances will become windows by which they move into the depths of God's life, God's light, and God's love. There on the mountain, they saw Jesus transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. The cloud overshadowed them, and the Creator's voice spoke of his beloved Son. Peter wants to build dwelling places. He wants to frame Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. It is good for us to be here. He wants to preserve it. He wants to take a picture. Pictures, friends, however, are static. On the Mount of Transfiguration, our pictures of life's circumstances become windows through which we step into a new world, a new way of seeing, a new way of hearing, and a new way of being. That's what happened for Peter, James, and John. Jesus did not suddenly light up and become something he was not. No, their eyes were healed and opened so that they could see Jesus as he had always been. Let the church say, amen. Amen. The voice in the cloud was not new. Their ears were open and they heard the voice that has never ceased speaking from the beginning. The transfiguration is as much about them as it is Jesus. Whenever our picture of life circumstances becomes a window into a new life, we stand in a transfigured moment. Circumstances haven't changed. We have changed, and that seems to change everything. You see, friends, those transfigured moments are all around. Every one of us could tell a story about stepping back from the picture of our life and seeing with new eyes, listening, friends, with different ears, and discovering a window that opened into another world and another way of being. Maybe it was the day you revealed to another person the secret you had carried for years. And in telling the secret, the picture of your life as one of guilt and shame became an open window through which you stepped. The darkness gave way to light. The chains fell off and forgiveness overcame sin. I think about the day when I held our first child for the very first time. Yes, it was a picture of a newborn, but it was also a window through which I stepped and was forever changed. I experienced a new vocation as a parent, a dad. I became a part of the mystery of creation. The Lord's glory surely shone as much in our hands that day as it did in the Mount of Transfiguration 2,000 years ago. I remember speaking with one of my first Sunday school teachers who was transitioning to the church triumphant. And together we talked that evening. We laughed and cried and sat in silence. She said that she had some experiences. She had visions and heard voices. Is that real? Is it normal? Yes, absolutely. The picture of her life as one of cancer, pain, and suffering had become an open window through which she stepped. She began to understand that in the midst of her cancer, she was already being healed. There is much more going on than we usually see or know. She said, "The tears and fears are real, but just as real is the voice that said to her, 'Oh, my daughter, my beloved, you are already okay.'" Those windows are everywhere if we have eyes to see and ears to hear. We often want to go back to those transfigured moments. We are tempted to build dwelling places for those moments. Booths and dwelling places will only keep us in the past. To the extent we cling on the past, we close ourselves to the future God offers. So Jesus, Peter, and John came down the mountain. They could not stay there, but neither did they leave the mountain. They took it with them. It is what would carry them through the passion and crucifixion and the resurrection. Transfigured moments, friends, are what we need within the life of the church. Transfigured moments where we can see through different eyes and ears with renewed outlook in what is coming before us. That the one that we serve, the God in whom we come every Sunday and throughout the course of the week, and we raise up in the mornings and we go to rest that night, is the one that will sustain us, will lead us, will provide us with new ways of understanding the grace and the abundance that is in our midst. Transfigured moments change us, it sustains us, it prepares us, it encourages us, and guides us into the future regardless of the circumstances we face. God is. They show us who we are. We, friends, are the transfigured people of God. Let us open our eyes and see a transfigured world. Open our ears and hear the transfiguring voice. Open our hearts and become a transfigured life. Every picture of life is an open window that says, no, this is not all there is. So let us rise and turn the pictures of static behavior and safety into windows of opportunities when we can take the risks of seeing beyond what we all only want to see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.